information about the Little Book of Big Potentials, but more importantly, the beautiful collaboration that Keith Allen Kay and I have been working on now for over a year with respect to the unique fractal holograms that represent 24 fields of love. A little bit of background is probably helpful to understand how the collaboration came forth. Basically, I have been teaching this work in seminars around the world since 2012 in conjunction with some very popular life transformational seminars that I teach under the platform known as Matrix Energetics. This particular work and these 24 fields of love are taught under the seminar known as MJOY, MJOY of Being and MJOY Integrative. And basically, without going into all of the scientific information, because it's not necessary to have that, what is taught in these seminars is how to ultimately command field flow, how to get into resonance or connection with specific fields of information that then give rise to the expression of energy and experience. And the way that field flow functions, it's really quite simple. Essentially, where you resonate, so you experience. And if you're resonating in fields of confusion or fields of limitation or fields of division or fields of lack, then your life, your love hologram will play out accordingly. Similarly, if you resonate, and when you resonate, with fields of love, fields of clarity, fields of unity, fields of abundance, fields of flow, fields of joy, then where you resonate, so you experience, and your life will mirror this accordingly, because we are holographic in nature. Everything is patterns of light information and resonance, and where we resonate, so we experience. And so what is taught in the MJOY seminars, and then is what is put forth in these beautiful fractal holograms that have been created in collaboration with Keith Allen Kay, are essentially symmetric reflections of the truth of our essence as limitless love. Many of us have been programmed and conditioned and habituated in our consciousness to believe that we are the confusion and limitation that then plays out in our holograms. And what these fractal holograms represent is a multisensorial experience that provide basically clear reflections of the truth of who we are. And so encoded within each of these light, color, and sound information templates basically are programs of clarity, programs of love, programs of unity, programs of flow, and programs of fulfillment. And the wonderful thing about the fractal holograms is that you don't need to know anything about the fields. In fact, simply connecting to the fractal, allowing yourself to enter into the experience, transforms the way that you relate to absolutely anything and everything.
That's beautiful. This is Keith, by the way. Can you hear me, Melissa?
I can hear you, Keith.
Wow, it's technology has come on along here for us. Thank you. I'm just going to interject. I'm going to hand this over to Karen in a second. I love how you describe fields, by the way, talking about confusion and discord in our fields. There's no judgment of that, right?
That's what's beautiful.
Of course not. You know, if you want to create a holographic field in your life of judgment, discord, anger, there's no judgment. That's just your experience, right? And that's what frees us through these fractal holograms to move into something much more extraordinary with the same ease that we can move into discord, discomfort, unhappiness, that we have that kind of power. It's one of the things I love most about how you communicate this truth.
Well, thank you. And you know, that's actually a key aspect of the MJOY teachings, and that's woven throughout the Little Book of Big Potentials. And pretty much everything that I share is that ultimately everything is just, it's patterns of information expressing as energy and experience. And when we go into judgment about any experience that we're having, there's actually a physics that collapses all other possibilities into the perception as judgment. And there's no freedom or wiggle room to move into a different configuration. So when we let go of judgment and we just observe a pattern as simply a configuration of information, then there's fluidity in that observation, and there's the ability to modify resonance and or command a different field flow. And so, you know, we can play around a lot in judgment if we want, and if we realize, even when we're judging ourselves, it's simply an experience. It doesn't define who we are. We aren't limited by the experience that we're having. Then even in the freedom of realizing it's okay to judge allows you to let go of judgment. It's kind of paradoxical.
No, but it is so true. And that's the wonder about these fractal holograms is they're centered in the experience of beauty. I call beauty love's radiance, right? So it is the organic nature of love to express in patterns of beauty. And so when we get lost in these experiences that, again, one of the things I enjoy is that there's no complexity here, right? You don't have to have a degree or some certification in holographic fields to have an experience with these fractal holograms. The very act of beauty transforms you and opens you up in a significant way immediately into this holographic field.
It's very true. One of the ways that I perceive it, and I like to explain it this way, is that none of us are ever trained really to look in the mirror. I mean, it's just we look in the mirror and we see a reflection, but often what we see reflected back to us isn't what's really there. It's how we have shaped our perceptual biases. It's what we're actually projecting out that we think is being reflected back to us. And what these fractal holograms provide for us are clear symmetric reflections of our truth as beauty and unity. And even when we've had experiences, and even if we are experiencing situations and circumstances and conditions that might look anything other than like love, love is still seated within the inception of that pattern. It's simply a movement away from recognition. And so these fractal holograms allow for us to essentially clear the fog off the mirror, to clear the condensation and the encrusted old informational patterns that we've habituated to perceiving ourselves as, and we get a clear reflection. And there is no knowledge required because we're tapping into an inherent wisdom. And so we can learn about the holographic science that supports love as information, love as torsion, love as spin, love as everything. But understanding isn't necessary in order to experience. In fact, experience leads us to reveal our own interpersonal understanding that's actually transpersonal in the same way that love is transpersonal.
Yeah, so true. I mean, what's our number one question we get about these fractal holograms? Well, what do I do, right? How do I do this? And the answer is however you want, but I love your experience of this. Can you talk about your experience with being in relationship to these fractal holograms?
Well, my personal experience with respect to how I like to play with them.
Yeah, I love that. Again, this is not a format, but it's your experience, but it really is inspiring to me.
Well, thank you. My favorite way to play with the fractal holograms is to actually immerse myself in them. You know, so much of our sense of limitation in our experiences of life come from separation or perceived separation. And ultimately, everything is connection, connection, connection. And so I like to establish a connection with the fractal holograms by allowing for my awareness to actually enter into the fractal hologram, and I embody what it is that I'm witnessing. So it's kind of the difference between, sitting in front of the television and watching the show and remaining acutely aware that you're sitting on the couch watching a program that's being transmitted through a satellite onto your television versus actually entering in and becoming one with the program that is unfolding. And what occurs when I connect and I immerse myself into the fractal holograms is that I immediately feel expansion. I immediately feel a sense of interconnection with not only my own fractal nature, but the fractal nature of the universe. In other words, the infinite expansion and self-reflection that is occurring. I feel peace, I feel joy, and I feel like that feeling that anything is possible, but it isn't just a feeling or a notion, it's actually an experience. So I enter in as though I am one with the fractal hologram, and then I notice what thoughts, sensations, perceptions, emotions, and experiences unfold as a result. So I don't really have an intention to do anything other than to connect, and the connection is where resonance occurs, and where you resonate, then experience unfolds accordingly. Now, you have a different way that you like to connect to the fractals, Keith. Would you like to share that?
Sure. Sometimes it's, well, it, for me, because I'm creating them, and there's a lot of technical elements through this process and intention about, numbers and some of the science there. So I have to kind of breathe into this abstraction where I hold no intention. I'm not coming from a place of ideation of what's about to happen. I just breathe into the experience of it, and I allow it to come back to me. Now, fractals to me are the most organic element of the universe. Everything physical organically is fractal. And so when we use this avenue, we are literally opening ourselves up to the organic nature of the universe, past all of our stories and our history, because we come with all of these assumptions about how life should be, because we've learned certain things, right? If this happens, then that happens. And this fractal nature allows us to extend out beyond to that, to that realm where miracles happen, where the unknown happens, where I'm moving beyond my assumption of what's going to happen next into this experience of, oh my God, what's going to happen next? What could be possible? What am I noticing? What's moving me? What emotion am I experiencing right now, right? So that's my experience of these. It's just an opening into the most organic nature of the universe.
Well, I think you touched upon something so key relative to the fractals, and that is that we are all conditioned to operate in a linear-based reality of cause and effect. Even, time to most of us is perceived as linear. And really, the nature of the universe and time itself is it's spiraling, and these spirals are what create the fractal infinite potential moving into infinite expression. And so just by virtue of connecting to a fractal, we move our entire body hologram out of phase with linearity and cause and effect into the realm of miracles, where anything can happen because there's no program or conditioning that says the contrary. So I really like that you included that. I would love to ask Karen to share some of her insights, because she has had an opportunity to experience some of the fractals, and she's also had an opportunity to read Little Book of Big Potentials, and she's experienced both ways of relating to the information. Karen, would you like to share?
Yes, I would love to. I'd first of all like to apologize to everybody this morning for the technical issues that we were having, and this is perfectly appropriate what you and Keith have both been sharing about this morning, how we find ourselves in these challenging situations and how we choose to respond or react to them and deal with them. So anyway, here we all are dealing with our technical issues this morning perfectly. And I thank you both, and thank you everyone for being so patient with that situation. And it's funny that we've had these difficulties Wednesday morning on the basic training, and Ariel last week on the advanced training. So I don't know what's going on, but it's not Mercury in retrograde. I know that much.
Well, one of the things I'll just add is that it's just to consider is that when our fields take upgrades, when we modify our resonance, when we move into rapport with, I don't want to say higher levels of information, but more coherent levels of information, then there is a reconfiguring of self in relation to technology. It's a very common aspect. I've seen it having taught the consciousness-based technologies since 2008. And one of the ways that I find it to be really helpful when it happens is just kind of laugh at it and to literally connect to the technology in the same way I was talking about connecting to the fractals, become one with the technology. It's actually conscious too. In fact, our technological ways of communicating are a very close approximation of the programs that run in our holographic universe. So connecting to the program, connecting to GoToWebinar, connecting to the technology, and getting into sync with it can be a really useful way to override the technological difficulties. And laughter, always laugh. It makes it way easier.
Oh, absolutely. And thank you so much for that, Melissa. It is very important to be able to get through anything in life, isn't it? To remember the humility of the situation and use that, you know, as our vehicle to get through life in these challenging times. So I would like to draw reference to a part of your book on page 26. For those of you that have Melissa's book, there's a beautiful, if I can just read this out, and we have a little conversation about this. The electrodynamic fields are invisible and intangible, and it is hard to visualize them, but a crude analogy may help to show what the fields of life, fields for short, do and why they are so important. Most people who have taken high school science will remember that if iron filings are scattered on a card held over a magnet, they will arrange themselves in the pattern of the lines of force of the magnet's field. And if the filings are thrown away and fresh ones scattered onto the card, the new filings will assume the same pattern as the old. Something like this happens in the human body. Its molecules and cells are constantly being torn apart and rebuilt fresh from material from food we eat. But thanks to the controlling L fields, the new molecules and cells are rebuilt as before and arrange themselves in the same pattern as the old ones. So
Karen, what you're referencing is actually an excerpt in the book in honor of Dr. Harold Saxton Burr, who talked about the L fields of life in his seminal work, Blueprint for Immortality. And without getting all hung up on the science, in essence, what his work points to, what Laszlo's work points to, what Rupert Sheldrake's work points to, is that there is a unified field of information, a sea of infinite potential, I call it unconditional love, that from which all matter, form, life, and experience evolve. And how life comes to know itself is by virtue of the fields of information that it organizes through. And so what Harold Saxton Burr was talking about was that these fields are not necessarily something that we can see or touch because they're informationally based, but we can see the effects of the fields by virtue of how organisms organize themselves. And he used the metaphor of the magnet. And so in essence, the fields that I am referring to in Little Book of Big Potentials, and really ultimately I'm pointing to all fields of information, they're not necessarily tangible in that the information itself is not in the detectable electromagnetic spectrum. They actually organize the information in something called torsion fields. These torsion fields communicate, and it's the nesting of the torsion fields that create the fractals or the geometries that then matter pours into. And so you know, the it's basically information as infinite formation. And it's the information that gives rise to what we are able to track as matter and form and experience. One of the reasons that I approached Keith to render artistic representations of these non-local, non-linear, non-electromagnetic fields was to create an interface or a portal between the detectable electromagnetic spectrum and the information that is outside of the detectable electromagnetic spectrum. So you could consider these fractal holograms to be like the magnets. Okay, and if you removed the magnets, the information, everything would still go back into place, but we wouldn't be able to see. We couldn't see the information. So we've got these magnets, these fractal holograms that enable us to connect to the information that is actually organizing our experience in our own love hologram.
Beautiful. So in terms of cellular memory, Melissa, how would you describe the comparison?
I wouldn't even say it's a comparison. I would say it's everything is field based. Fields are actually what inform everything in our organisms, all the way down to the DNA. In fact, I include research from a friend of mine and someone I admire very much, Dr. Peter Garyev out of Moscow, Russia. He is actually scientifically shown the effects of these torsion fields informing the biophotons, the light in the body, to actually heal. And so his research has shown that you change up the information in the torsion fields, you change up the resonance of the torsion fields, you can change up cellular memory. You can literally change up a genetic disease by virtue of changing up the information that is informing the body at the molecular level. So bringing it back to the fractal holograms, can connection to this information transform your experience of a disease? Absolutely. Am I going to make a claim of being able to heal people of diseases if they buy these fractal holograms? Absolutely not. I have no idea what's going to happen. I do know what is possible. I do know the information that's encoded in each individual fractal hologram is based on coherence and clarity, and coherence and clarity allows for clear communication of the torsion fields into the biophotons of the human body, and that is what allows for flow and well-being to occur.
Beautiful. And so, yeah, and the word I was looking for wasn't comparison, it was correlation. I apologize for that.
Yeah, no, I knew what you meant. That what our logical brains do is we compare and we contrast, and then what ends up happening is we create separation. Correlation is connection, and connection is unity, and unity is everything.
Absolutely. All right, so Keith, would you like to speak a little bit more about your experience with the fractals and the spirographics?
I love moving into the experience of it. I'm one of those strange kind of mystical beings. I love science and I love the experience. And when they harmonize, it's even more exciting. But I want to bring us back to that organic nature of these fields, right? It's something we do all the time. One of the other ways to experience a field is a story, right? We create stories, and that's what creates a field around us. Well, I can remember back when I was married years ago. I'm not anymore. But I remember watching Titanic with my wife, and she was sobbing and sobbing uncontrollably afterwards, right? And I'm telling you do realize that Leonardo's not dead. He's still with us, and he's probably in Cancun at the moment with his Mai Tai, and he's just fine, right? But she was so immersed in the story, it had become an actual realization, right? Well, we do the same thing with our stories of our life, that we believe our history and how we perceive the world, and when we enter into it fully, we become immersed and emotionally connected. The beauty of these holograms is organically, if we can kind of enter into them, it's like a reset button. We're allowed to move beyond these stories and just realize, oh, these are patterns of information. These are fields that I don't have to live with if I don't want to, or I can amplify if I want to, right? I don't have to remain in some state of misery and agony. I can, in a moment, transform those energies and even transform my energy of my history. Because we sometimes think, well, my history are just facts. Well, what we perceive at any moment is so minimal compared to what's actually happening around us that ability to come back into this presence and go, everything is malleable. Everything. We can move and realize that, yeah, I'm so glad that you talked about healings because, yeah, we can't claim those. But in truth, healings happen. Why? Because reality is malleable. I've got friends that had cancer one day and no cancer the next. That's malleable reality, right? I've seen broken relationships mend in a weekend. That's malleable reality, and that's what I love about this experience is that it's so abstract and beautiful that you're drawn into the richness of the experience, and from that place, it is so much easier to move beyond our assumptions and our history.
Absolutely. Thank you, Keith. And I think with, when we talk in terms of spiritual technology, you know, we want to be careful and very aware not to give away our power to that technology and, you know, make sure that we're maintaining that power. And these are tools to be able to just reflect back to us, you know, what it is we're working through, what we're journeying through.
I would like to share that one of the things that I've learned having been playing in very powerful fields and teaching consciousness-based technologies around the world since 2008 is that all technology, all modalities, all really healing-based techniques are morphic fields. And apart from our connection to the information in those fields have no power. It is our connection. And it really isn't possible to give our power away to any technology. It's just a shifting frame of reference. Oftentimes we will attribute, oh, I healed because of, you know, ABC modality. And it's like, no, actually what that modality did was it helped you establish resonance with a clear, coherent reflection of your own inner healing that was already there but was perhaps lying dormant. So everything becomes a placeholder to reflect back to us something that is already inherently within us. And so whether we're talking about a fractal hologram or we're talking about a modality in energy medicine, both ultimately are placeholders of information allowing for resonance of what I call coherency, congruency, and integrity in action. And that is the formula for healing, but that is within all of us. Nothing heals us apart from our connection to it.
All right, so what would you say are the three most important things for people to know to be able to maintain that connection?
To maintain the connection to what?
To our reality, you know, without, looking too much into what the tools can provide for us. You know, to remember that our brains are our wave generators and, you know, we do it all within our physiology. You know, when we're just learning how to work
well,
with the oceans and
in essence, I mean, coherency, congruency, and integrity in action, you could say those are three things. Coherency is not necessarily a construct of the mind, but is a facet of heart-centered awareness. So I would say the very first thing in terms of maintaining connection with anything and everything is connecting from the field of the heart. Congruency is aligning your awareness, your perceptual biases, your projections into the hologram from the mind while remaining connected through the field of the heart. And then that third part, integrity, is always remaining aware of the interconnection of all that is and then using choice with discernment in order to determine which direction to go. And that's modifying resonance and commanding field flow. So I would say heart first, then mind, then choice.
Oh, thank you. That sounds
You're welcome.
Well, let me take over the host role here, and I want to ask you, because I think I know your answer. So,
who are you talking to? Me or Karen?
I am talking to Melissa Joy Johnson.
Fantastic. Then she will answer. Thank you.
Famous, infamous magic maker of the world. So when we're talking about connection and congruency, that's happening all the time. Right now, we are connected and congruent with something, right?
Oh, absolutely. That's our core nature, connection. However, so many times we move our awareness away from that recognition, or we're connecting to something that we don't necessarily want to experience, and then we tell ourselves this is just the way things are. No, this is where you're connecting.
I enjoy about your writing. So that is our ever state. So whatever I'm experiencing, it's about my assumptions. That's a word I use, not you so much, but that's how I'm creating my connection and congruency. But that third element, I think, is the potent energy where we can come into it. It's integrity, right? So I can say all kinds of things. I want harmony. I want love. I want passion. I can say those every day. I can even make intentions about them. But if I'm connected and congruent with disconnection, aloneness, a challenge, that is what my reality is going to be. When integrity comes in, I can begin to align with the desires of my actual heart and soul and move away from stories that no longer support that.
Absolutely. And even more so, before that connection, there's an embodiment of the realization that whatever it is that we are desiring, we already are. Whatever it is that we want to manifest already exists as a seed of completion within us. That is, you know, the holographic nature. You know, the seed of an elm tree has the entire elm tree before it ever even blossoms. And so it's not so much that we necessarily need to connect to something outside of ourselves. It's a connection to an aspect of our awareness that we already are, and that isness has just yet to unfold or express or blossom or open. And so, in essence, these fractal holograms, these fields of love, flow, fulfillment, abundance, and joy, they serve almost as catalysts, like the sun would serve as a catalyst for a sunflower to open and blossom. I mean, sunflowers, when they're ready to open, they turn and face to the sun. And
right.
Then they open and they blossom. Now, they didn't need the sun to open and blossom, but that reflection becomes love symmetry elating in its own awareness. And so these fractal holograms allow for us to establish coherency and congruency from within ourselves, and as within, then so without.
Yeah, this is beautiful. So moving into integrity is really moving into the desires of our heart. One of the elements that is consistent with all your work is the art of play. Can you talk for a moment why play can actually move us out from a field that we've been living for 40 years, you know, a belief, an idea, a story, and it can allow us to break free and believe into a completely different reality. Why is play so powerful?
Well, I have an acronym for play that it sort of is woven into all of my teachings, and that is PLAY stands for potential love awaiting you and your recognition. But ultimately, play is the creative intelligence of the universe expressing through us. Play takes us out of our minds and our encrusted, encoded molds of programming and limitations, and ultimately play puts us in our hearts. When we are in our hearts, we have access to all the information that is available in this sea of limitless love. We have access to all fields of potential. We have access to essentially the space of grace and miracles. when we are playing, we do not have a preconceived notion or expectation around how reality needs to show up in the very next moment. Every time we have a preconceived notion, and I'll use your terminology, Keith, an assumption, that assumption serves to create a container through which limitless love as consciousness potential must squeeze into in order to express. And so if we let go of our assumptions, we are spontaneously allowing ourselves to engage with the universe with the innocent perception of a little child in a magical state of being, then there are no limiting containers or prisms that consciousness has to squeeze through. It can just flow and anything can become possible and available because we've no longer limited how consciousness can express. So play is a huge facet of the MJOY teachings, as well as the Matrix Energetics teachings that I share with Dr. Richard Bartlett. When we are playing, we're literally, to me, it's like Play-Doh, right? Where we get to shape and give form to a particular expression simply by allowing for creative intelligence to move through us with its own limitless wisdom.
I love it. I'm completely in agreement. So would I be putting you on the spot if I said, Melissa, can you create a playful experience for us today? That anybody that's listening to this or whatever day they're hearing the recording, what's something I could do today? What's a play that I can bring into my day-to-day that could help me open up to this greater experience of love?
Well, I think that what I would say to everyone, because there's so many ways to play, in fact, the ways to play are as abundant as universal consciousness, but a very easy, graceful, fun way to move into the art of play, particularly if someone doesn't really have any frame of reference or experience with that, is to evoke the art of the open-ended question. And what I mean by that is, you know, we all have our agendas for the day. We all have our expectations of the way that we think things will unfold. Well, I wonder what it would be like if I let go of my agendas, my expectations, and my judgments, and I allowed for myself to notice and experience something in the very next moment, as if I were a little child building sandcastles in the sand. Where might my attention take me? How might I relate to this pattern or this situation or this circumstance or this relationship if I were to allow myself to play like a little child? What might show up for me? What might I notice if I let go of the containers that are limiting how consciousness potential can express in the very next moment? Laughter and the willingness to see love's humor in all situations is a really, really powerful way to play. So often we will perceive the gravity of situations. You just turn on the news and it's just filled with, you know, fear and terror and gosh, the world is coming to an end, right? And what does that do? Well, that puts you into resonance with morphic fields of fear and terror and destruction and desiccation. Well, how would love see this experience? And where can I notice love and play in this experience so that it can begin to be projected differently in the universal hologram? So really, you don't need any scientific knowledge. You don't need any experience to learn how to play. In fact, we all know how to play. We've just simply forgotten. So sometimes I like to share with students, you know, take your awareness back to when you were a little child, when you were perhaps 6 or 7 years old, and you could find 7 inches of dirt in the garden and engage for hours at a time. And anything can become a lattice for play. And when we open into play, no matter what it is that we are relating to, then essentially what that does is it opens the floodgates for love's potential to express, and something can be different in the very next moment.
I love that. As you're talking, I'm getting a picture of my granddaughter, the most magical person on the planet, by the way.
And, I thought I was.
You're close, but it really is actually no competition with her. So she's only 2 years old, right? And a number of months ago, I was with my daughter and her, and there was something that came on the news, and I know it had to do with something in the Middle East and some people being hurt, and without going to, but you can feel immediately, and my daughter and I, really, you could feel it was affecting us, right? Like, oh my God, what's going on in the world, right? And we're kind of just, in the middle of hearing this story. And I'm looking down, and my granddaughter had found a rock in the parking lot and was completely enchanted, right? She's in the same space we are, and she's having the most magical moment with some ugly little rock in the parking lot that she found beautiful. And it just touched my soul, right?
I love that. And what our listeners may not realize is that she is actually favorably affecting the collective consciousness by virtue of her choice to play with that rock. Because that state of being, that magical childlike wonder, actually emits torsion fields that then become embedded in the fabric of the universe, and that becomes available for everyone else to start resonating with. So each time we play like a little child, like your granddaughter, and we see the magic and the childlike wonder that is available in a rock, then that resonance becomes more available for others. And then what happens is it becomes a more heavily weighted probability that can then be more likely to actualize as an experience. So the greatest service we can do for all of humanity is to play.
So I imagine most people on this call today, or they'll be listening to the recording, have a desire to change the world, right, or have an effect, and to know I can do it as simply as playing, as skipping down the road, as imagining wonder around me, being marveled by a leaf or light in a tree. Those kinds of engagements aren't just for my benefit. They're actually affecting the cosmos, right?
Well, absolutely, because nothing happens in a vacuum, even though everything comes from the vacuum. Each time an individual shifts up their resonance, that creates a spiral, so to speak, that becomes available for everyone else to resonate with, too. So one of the most profound ways that we can change up what we are perceiving to be happening at a global level is to change up how we are relating in our own individual hologram, because there's a ripple effect that occurs. Nothing happens in isolated fashion, and yet everything is essentially isolated by virtue of its unity and connection. So you shift how you show up, and that ripples out into the collective grid of consciousness and favorably affects every single conscious being in the universe or the multiverse.
This is amazing. This is incredible stuff. I hope everyone gets it at that level. This is really transformational, right?
It totally is. It totally is. Thank you. And we can use the spiritual technology that we have, with the fractals, the technology that you two have created in terms of information, the quantum infinity, to raise our frequencies so that we can be resonating at that higher level.
Absolutely. It's funny. I was raised in an environment where, one parent was a scientist and the other parent was a poet. But I also grew up being trained that reality is something that happens to us. And I remember being a little child thinking, how can something always be happening to me? Like, aren't I participating in this process? And I want to play in a different way. And so I invite all of our listeners to consider that no matter how you may have been programmed to believe reality functions, ultimately, reality will conform to how you choose to resonate. And you always have the inherent power to access your joy and to access your magical essence and the own creative intelligence that is creating this infinitely fractal universe. That is what we are, and that is within us. And all we really need to do is open and give ourselves permission to experience that dynamic wonder, no matter what has happened, what appears to be happening, and what may happen, because ultimately it's all up for grabs.
Perfect.
Yeah, it is perfect. Thank you. If you don't mind, you two, if we can open it up just for the last few minutes for some questions. My daughter is actually here. She's been listening to this whole webinar, Destiny. She's 17, and she's at the other computer, so she's going to be texting me the questions so that we can answer, then I'm going to text her back. We'll make it work.
Absolutely. While we're waiting for those questions to come in, I just wanted to let anyone know, if you're interested in learning more, you can visit my website at www.mjoyheartfield.com, and that's spelled MJOYHEARTFIELD.com. These amazing fractal holograms are going to be available to everyone very, very, very soon. I won't tell the exact date because I don't want to be wrong. And I will also be teaching a phenomenal MJOY integrative seminar in San Diego, November 14th and 15th. And there's information on my website about coming and immersing yourself in the experience of these fields in a live interactive experiential two-day seminar.
Great, thank you. I hope everybody got that information. What I'll do, Melissa, I'll get those dates from you and I'll email them to everybody.
Well, that's lovely. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Okay, so one question for you, Melissa. Are these fractals in the book of in the little book of Big Potentials?
So the actual pictorial representation and the moving videos with music are not a part of the physical book. The book is all of the fields that are holographically woven together through information. So in other words, if you are interested in connecting from the field of the heart to the specific information that is encoded within each field, then the journey through Little Book of Big Potentials will take you there. There are no pictures in the book, although the book as an experience will create entirely new pictures for you based on modifying your resonance. The fractal hologram videos, which are 6 minutes with beautiful, beautiful music, are a separate adjunct to the book. They were created in support of the fields that are shared in the book and that I have been sharing around the world in the MJOY teaching since 2012.
Great. Right. Thank you, Melissa. Does anybody else have any questions for Melissa or Keith?
The answer is yes.
Yeah. We're just,
I mean, how often are we told no, right? Like, let's just say yes.
Okay, let me just check with Destiny, see if there's any more questions. Otherwise, we'll finish up.
Yeah, so I'm going to encourage you to, if you're listening right now, get this book and immerse yourself into the experience of it, not the knowledge of it. And that that opening and kind of moving yourself into these fields, way beyond the science, way beyond all the details, even though that helps support a part of our nature that needs a structure, right? That as you open up and you begin to play in these fields, it will absolutely